Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
honey. Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly in my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two. Dirt and Sprague here on The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and the YouTube. YouTube.com/1080AM. The Fan, good morning. Happy second hour of a Friday. Hope your first hour was great.
Delightful.
Ours flew right by.
As it always does.
Jordan Hudson will be talked about again at some point during football season, I'm sure. She's going nowhere.
Watching North Carolina this year, man. Woo, buddy, is it going to be entertaining.
Will they win more than 8 games?
Oh, I would guess no off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but I'd have to take a look. I'd take a peek-sees at their schedule. I'm not quite sure who they get.
Isn't their schedule tissue paper soft?
I don't remember.
The non-conference?
They play
don't
in the
remember.
ACC, so to
the
your
ACC
point,
is yeah. not challenging, but do they have like an Indiana non-conference, or is there a game in there where you're like, they could probably lose
I
that game?
I feel like he's got a big dog on that, but maybe
he's got a big dog on that schedule?
I might be confusing them with somebody else.
Their non-conference schedule is TCU at home. That's not a guaranteed win. TCU's fine. I mean, that's an okay program. Charlotte on the road will be a win. Richmond at home will be a win. And then on the road at Central Florida.
Okay, so I misremembered.
Well, Central Florida could be a loss and TCU could be a loss. Those are not guarantees by any stretch. They do not play Miami this year. They get Clemson at home.
They get Clemson at home.
And outside of that in the ACC, there's nothing worth knowing.
Are you guys doing the win-loss thing?
It's a win. It's a loss. It's a win. They got to go to Berkeley. They got to go to Berkeley. No way they survive Berkeley.
It's a Friday night game.
I got to be fully honest with you guys about something, and I'm a little embarrassed to say this doing a sports
that
radio
away in
show.
The fourth quarter, but
I had no memory, and I'm not sure I knew at any point. And maybe we talked about it, and I'm so forgetful that I don't even remember talking about it.
Hmm.
I discovered somehow yesterday, don't judge me.
Uh-oh.
Scott Frost is back at UCF.
Yeah, got a big
contract.
Just
figured that out, huh? Earth to Matilda. Hello. Good morning.
That was
a pretty big deal.
He may have brought it up on the show, and we talked about it even, but I saw this like, he's bonus in his contract. They make a bowl game. I'm like,
huh?
Why would you hire that guy?
He's done a lot of interviews that are like, dude.
$20 million? Why would you give that guy $20 million?
Dial
he was a
back.
Train wreck.
He's trying to do the whole, I never wanted to leave in the first place. The only reason I left was because family and the powers that be at Nebraska made me leave. He's doing that whole, this is where I always wanted to be. He's done a bunch of those interviews.
Is that his accent?
That's what he sounds like right now.
I just switched it up.
Family. Have fun with that. We'll see how that works out for you.
Put it on your calendar. Make a note of it. Tuesday, June 24th is going to be a big day for us here at The Fan because your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Yes, it's back. It's hopefully better than ever. We've got great partners this year. We're excited because it's brought to you by Henderson & Daughter Windows & Doors and Philbrook Law Accident Injury Lawyers. Victorico's, our great friends at Victorico's will be out there with their breakfast burritos and a little bit of lunch. And they'll be accompanied with Matt's Barbecue.
Yeah, Matt's Barbecue.
Look at that tandem, huh?
Look at that tandem.
Victorico, Matt's Barbecue. Yeah. Let's do this thing. Let's get weird. Foursomes can be purchased right now, 1080thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for more details.
Checked in just a handful, maybe half a handful of afternoon rounds are still available.
What is half of a handful? Two and a half fingers?
Yeah.
You didn't think about that, did you? You kind of just said it. What is
I'll scissor kick his gizzard.
I don't know. less than a full handful.
So there's somewhere between one and four.
Yeah.
Foursomes left in the afternoon.
It's four could not be half.
It's up to you to get. Yeah, it's true. And one can't be half either. So it's either two or three. What does he consider half of a handful?
Three,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Three's more than half. Two's less than half.
Really oracled that.
What's the over-under? The over-under is a half.
Could have just said they're going fast.
They're going fast.
There's fewer than five afternoon foursomes remaining.
Want to give one of those random college football, coach half a handful. And everybody's sitting around going, the hell does that mean?
A follow-up question there, Coach. What's half a handful? Define that, please.
Not many.
I asked you guys this during the break, and I know it could maybe cost me my job at this point in this country. Yeah. And everybody on the YouTubes and the text line, the fan text line, Twitter, it doesn't matter. Everybody would disagree with this question. I know they would.
Hmm.
Have the NBA playoffs been better than the NFL playoffs?
There were a lot of duds in the NFL playoffs, if you don't
remember. What was
the
best game in the NFL playoffs? Was it Rams-Eagles?
Because you asked this question going into break, and it forced me to do a little research during the commercial break.
Because it's okay to not remember every game.
You're not
going to
remember
anything.
Wildcard round was terrible. Terrible. There was nothing that happened good in wildcard round.
Agreed.
Texans killed the Chargers.
Yep.
Ravens-Steelers was unwatchable.
Yep.
Buffalo dominated Denver.
Yep.
Philly-Green Bay was... whatever.
Maybe
it never really felt.
Green Bay got kind of. Yeah.
You only had one legitimate game that came down on the wire, and that was Commanders Buccaneers. Remember, they kept going for
that
on fourth down.
Game,
they won the
game
23-20, and then the Rams killed the Vikings on Monday night. That was your wild card weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, here's where I think we're misremembering things a little bit. The Super Bowl was terrible.
Garbage.
And
yes.
The NFC Championship game was bad.
Bad.
Garbage.
The AFC title game was classic.
Great. I can sell you every game into the divisional round of the playoffs, though. Every single one of them was a one possession game. Going into the fourth quarter, you had Texas and Chiefs, which I believe was tied 13-13 going into the fourth.
Did we? Okay, I'm just asking.
Yes,
just asking questions. Even in that moment,
no, we didn't think Kansas City was going to lose, but okay. It was a tie game going into the fourth quarter.
Yes,
you had Commanders Lions, which I believe was 31-28 going into the fourth, and then the Commanders piled on a couple of late touchdowns to win 45-31. Explosive plays all over the place, crazy turnovers. That was a good game. It was 31-28 going into the fourth quarter.
I know, but didn't the Commanders came out the gate in that one, right?
They were up 31-21 at the half.
Yeah.
Detroit got a touchdown in the third. A
lot of high-scoring
game.
Yep.
Eagles and Rams. The Rams had a lead going into the fourth quarter. The Eagles outscored them in the fourth. I believe it was 18-16, somewhere in that range.
That was a snow game. That game ended well.
That was a fun game. And then you had Ravens and Bills with Mark Andrews dropping the two-point conversion to tie the game 27-25.
He's on those USAA commercials, and I just every time I see him, I go, oh, Mark.
Yeah. So every single one of those games. Now, I'm not saying they're all-time classics that you remember.
Commanders, Lions. But the other ones, yes,
okay.
I agree.
That was a high-scoring, fun game back and forth. I thought it was enjoyable.
High school, we get a lot of points in an NFL game like that. What was the final of that game?
The final, because they outscored them 14-3 in the fourth, was 45-31. 45-31.
That's right, because Aaron Glenn got the job. People were like, that guy, huh?
I mean, it was 9-7, and then 14-10, 17-14, 24-14, 24-21, 31-21, 31-28.
Yeah.
And then finally, the Commanders got that. I think they broke through, Goff threw a pick late in the game, and then they tacked on a couple of touchdowns.
So your answer would be no?
My answer would be no. Right now, my answer would be no. I got to see how the rest of the second round of the playoffs go. I would argue, for the most part, the first round, bit of a dud. Because the two game sevens you got were terrible. You had your typical 1-8 sweeps, which you know are going to be sweeps.
I think that's the tough thing about my question, I guess, is like, you got two game sevens, though.
Yeah.
You did. You got two game sevens. They were both awful games, though.
Yeah, they weren't.
There was nothing compelling about either of them.
No.
Lakers and T-Wolves was over in five. That was supposed to be a fun competitive series.
Yep.
Knicks-Pistons was probably first-round series.
Yeah. That was a fun series. Brunson ending it on a game winner
in Detroit. Yeah, Pacers-Bucks was over in five because Dame got hurt. So you only had two game sevens, one series that went to game six, and one that I would say every game of the series was pretty compelling, and that was Knicks and Pistons.
Yeah.
But the second round is off to a great start. I think the question is, where do they go from here?
Is it off to a great start? Got a lot of 2-0 holes here.
You got a lot of 2-0 holes, but every 2-0 hole has been intriguing.
Yes, it has. Yes.
There's been like, oh my
deficit.
God, how did that happen? You can't believe what you're seeing kind
right.
of games.
Right, yeah.
So, how do they go? Like, does Indiana win game three tonight? Is that tonight or is that tomorrow? That's tonight,
tonight.
Right?
Tonight.
So they go up 3-0? Do the Knicks go up 3-0?
I want to talk about that game.
So then it's all of a sudden, you know, does OKC blow out Denver again?
Does Denver win one at home? Is it 2-2 after four going back to OKC?
I mean, we could kind of see what happened in game two there. We talked about it on the show.
It was the
most of desperation by Oklahoma City, and Denver came out the gate slow and said, we got our split.
They did what they needed to do on the road.
It's
they
the
got
one thing about having seven-game series is occasionally you get teams like, we got what
especially
we wanted.
Especially veteran teams.
Yep. Pack it in.
So I wouldn't quite go there yet, but with the Super Bowl being as bad as the Super Bowl was.
I wonder if the finals will deliver much more than the Super Bowl.
If you give me competitive 6 or 7 game conference finals and NBA finals, I have no problem saying it's been better than the NFL playoffs.
If I give you Pacers Thunder?
No. I object. The narrative of having to watch Tyrese Halliburton win a ring would just...
Could you imagine?
It would drive me nuts. All of a sudden, he's a star player, and it makes me want to pull my hair out.
If they win tonight,
dude,
all
over.
Three dudes
it's over.
Are still
it's
questionable.
Over.
They might not have their whole team again.
Now,
and Donovan Mitchell's banged up. He's going to play, but he's not healthy.
If the Knicks win, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about two things from each of these teams. If the Knicks win...
I actually
still think people would still toy with betting the Celtics. No team's done it.
I bet them yesterday. I bet them and the Cavs parlayed together to win their series.
There's people that are actually laying, there's like a decent amount of people laying Celtics in 6.
I mean, we had a listener get upset with the phrasing earlier, but it's not wrong. Like, they had no business losing either of those games.
No.
No business losing either of those.
The Celtics?
The Celtics.
Oh.
And the Cavs had no business losing game 2. No.
I agree with you, game 1, 100%.
They were up by 20.
My only pushback on game 2 is they were in the exact same place in game 2 that they were in game 1. And the minute that got even a little uncomfortable, 12 points, 10 points.
They puckered up.
They puckered and they didn't change a thing. And so that's my only little pushback to that is like, when you repeat what you did the first time and it lost you the game, you probably deserve to lose the game.
Yeah. They win that game 99 times out of 100 in the regular season.
Yeah, but that Brunson is that one time.
That one time they didn't do it.
Something to watch this weekend. I think the biggest sporting event of the weekend. And then, hey, this is going pretty well. Could it have gone well for us? Next on The Fan. We'll talk with Andrew Claudio, who covers the Knicks on the Knicks Film School podcast, coming up here for the Daily Ticker. Fan text lines 503-864-6326. We treat you right before, during, and after the text. Visit us at 1080thefan.com. Got that burned into my brain.
I mean, at this point, yeah, it's just hard to untrain the monkey. I've had a lot of those over the years.
Just carry it over to the next person.
That better be your read. Whoever buys that thing next, that better be your read. We're just going to keep it going.
Once upon a time, we had a general manager in this city that had a nice draft. Brandon Roy, LaMarcus Aldridge. He was very well and highly regarded by most Blazer fans.
Yes, he was.
And then he was fired.
Yes, he was.
And we went, damn it, man.
Whoa, we fired that guy?
And then we played musical chairs with general managers.
Joe Chop and a bunch of people.
And then came water bottle boy, Neil Olshey.
Old Neil. Old Neil.
Kevin Pritchard has built really himself sexy. A really sexy thing in Indiana. And we haven't talked about this angle of it. Do Blazer fans watch the Pacers and go, well-constructed team, really good coach?
I wonder how many Blazer fans still remember that Kevin Pritchard is the GM or president or whatever his title is now.
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah, I don't think it's a consistent thought for Blazer
fans. Had you guys thought about that much when
I knew that he was still a new... I knew he was still an indie, but it's not a constant... Every time I watch the Pacers play, I don't think, damn it, we let that guy slip through our fingers.
Really?
That doesn't come to my mind.
Because he was so beloved here.
He was. He had a massive impact on the organization for a short amount of time.
Yeah, and trying
nothing
to trade everything around.
Stuff in this country like ego and hubris.
Well... Yeah, he's the president of basketball operations, by the way.
Yeah, yes. He was the GM, and then they put him up, and I forget who the actual GM is.
He's been there a long time
Pritchard's
now, man.
Still there pulling the strings.
Been there a long time.
Go look at everything that they've built with this team. I don't know if this team's going to get to these finals or even win a title.
Similar type of market to Portland.
Oh, very similar, yes.
Well, it's not like he went somewhere that has an owner that's, throwing money out wherever.
Well, what I would say, though, because if I'm not mistaken, Cronin was an intern the year we drafted Roy?
I believe so. That sounds right when he started with the organization.
So he's somewhat familiar with KP, having been with the organization as long as he has. And I'm well aware of what I'm about to say and the response you could give me. Mm-hmm. In a way, you kind of look at the Pacers and you wonder if they're trying to build it very similar. Now, they have things that we don't. 100% agree with you. Better players, a star,
a proven commodity, a coach.
But you look at a Nembhard, you look at a Neesmith, right? Neesmith is a picked up Celtic. Yeah. Like, you kind of look at their pieces and you can see some version of us. Now, where we miss is pretty big areas. They have a better coach than us.
Yep.
They have a star player. We don't. They have a big man that can pick and pop. You can say that DeAndre can do that. I don't think he can quite do it like Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm.
I just, there's a little bit of the makeup that I see, but I look at Indiana and I'm like, man, they have slowly and quietly built what they are up, and they're on the verge of going up 3-0 and potentially getting back to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest argument that the NBA has going for it right now. And Adam Silver has screwed a lot of things up over the last however many years. You know how I feel about the in-season tournament. Maybe in 20 years, Teddy Ballgame cares about it. I just roll my eyes at it and find it pretty stupid, and the courts are ugly. The All-Star format, we have to bitch and complain about every year. You're not going to be able to fix it, but we change it every year nonetheless.
We change it again next year.
We're going to change it again next year. We bend over to the social media outrage and say, yes, how can we change this to please you? And then nobody's ever pleased by it. One of the best things that he has done is the effort to curtail super teams and having three stars on a roster, because there was a portion of the NBA of my adult life where it felt like you're never going to have a puncher's chance unless you're in New York, Miami, Los Angeles, Chicago, insert whatever city you want. You're never going to have a legitimate chance to win because guys don't want to go play in smaller markets. And if you don't have two or three superstars, you have no chance to win. I think Indiana is a prime example of this. I know that I can be critical of Tyrese Halliburton. Mainly it's just because I find him annoying. He is a hell of a player. And if you want to put the star label on him, I'm perfectly fine with that. I also don't view him as a generational talent. I don't view him as a top 15 player in the NBA. I don't think he's in that category. And the fact,
really?
I
even with what he's done?
I mean, his numbers are fine. We act as if he's averaging 35 a game in the playoffs. He averaged 17 points per game in the first round and shot 26% from three. They won the series. Like, I do think we need to take a deep breath a little bit. He's been good. He's a very good player. But I don't put him in the Giannis category. He's not a Jokic.
Like five players in the whole
without
league.
A doubt. He is not. He will never be an MVP candidate in his career. You know that's a yes. You know that he will not
be
an
MVP. What do you mean? What's the definition of that, though? Like a top five MVP guy?
He will never be a guy we legitimately have a conversation about. He could win the MVP this year, late in the season.
Okay.
And that to me, you used to have to have one of those guys on your roster to win an NBA championship. And this is where I think it's great. Indiana has built out with a very good point guard, a good big man, great role players. And the fact that they have a chance to win, or not win, but go to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals is a great feather in the cap for Adam Silver and the parity that he has built in this league that didn't used to exist 10 years ago.
My only pushback on what you just said is he is not a generational player. I think that is held for half of a handful,
sure,
to use Swag's term there.
Half of a handful, sure.
I just don't think there's that many of those guys in the league that exist, and they're already on teams and not going anywhere. But we don't have even a Halliburton. For all the
I'm not saying we do. I'm not saying we're anywhere close to being Indiana.
But
I'm
like,
not advocating
if
for that.
We did have at least that, it would change some of where this is going, right? Monday's a big day.
Monday
is a massive day for this city, and we'll talk about it on Monday because I can only imagine where the nerves are for such a quick turn-and-burn event that the NBA will put on Monday. Monday's a massive day for this organization. It's either going to say, you're picking in the top 11 or 10, or, oh my God, the greatest of basketball gods have blessed you.
Yeah.
And if they don't bless you, the odds of getting a Halliburton,
are very
no matter
minimal.
Your thoughts of him.
He was the 12th overall pick in the draft.
It's more it's more likely, though, to probably come from a trade. Unless Schmitz has somebody that he is, or he's got a couple that he circled in that area of the draft. And Cronin said this in the season, we think this draft is very deep. Okay. They thought it was deep enough to not tank, to not say, pull the cord in the final month of the season. Win all the games you want, and then we'll randomly not care about a Bulls game, and then we will care about this game, and then we won't care about that game, and then like they got weird with it.
Yeah, there was no strategy.
They must see somebody, whoever that is, in the draft to make them feel like they can get a Halliburton, because if they don't, and it's a good role guy, I don't know what we're doing here.
And you're just adding another role guy when you already have seven role guys on your team.
You're looking to just be at a minimum bottom tier Western Conference playoff team so you can get the gate money and you don't really care about anything else. But I'm going to hope that that's not their view and that they want a game changer. Yeah. And Halliburton, whether you love him or not, his numbers don't necessarily jump off the page. But when it's nut up time, that's the dude holding them.
Yeah, he finds a way to make big shots. He's been great in clutch situations. He's been good in pivotal, you know, deciding games for them. I just think it's encouraging as an NBA fan to see a team like Indiana do this. I don't think you're close to where Indiana is at, but just the thought of it doesn't take a miracle to build a team that can compete in the playoffs. Now, the East is easier than the West. There's part of that, too. And Portland won't be able to live in the Eastern Conference world, but it does give you a little bit of hope. I don't think they're anywhere close to it, but it does give you hope that it is attainable down the road.
Could have been us.
Could have been us, man. Could have been us.
Just needed to wait over a decade.
That's all we needed. Just hold on. Hold on to Kevin Pritchard. Things will work out well for you.
We have a lot to get to in the hour and a half of the program. I think the biggest event this weekend, and I'm not really sure it's close unless you're like a super diehard hockey fan, and I know those exist. I think it's Madison Square Garden, 12:30 our time Saturday.
It's the most expensive ticket I believe I saw in the history of Madison Square Garden.
I saw the get-in price.
Yeah, 800?
600 was what I saw, but that was early in the day yesterday.
Yeah. So this is an NBA Finals price
I'm
ticket.
I'm sure by tip time, if you want to try to go, it's $1,000.
It's going to be $1,000.
To get in the door.
When was the last time they were in the conference finals? 99?
Yeah. Mm.
Have they been in one since then?
Yes. That was it.
That was it?
That was it. So they've had been nothing but second round or first round exits.
And now you do inflation and the way it's going up. You got a 2-0 lead. You're playing the defending champs. That's an expensive ticket.
Let's talk about that Knicks-Celtics Game 3 in New York Saturday with Andrew Claudio, Knicks Film School. He'll join us for the Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Friday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather, Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Easily the biggest sporting event of the weekend is what's going down at Madison Square Garden tomorrow. The Knicks got a 2-0 series lead against the Boston Celtics, just like we all predicted. They'd erase a couple of 20-point deficits and have a lead in the series. Now they got a chance to take a stranglehold on it with a 3-0 series lead at home. Joining us now to talk about that and the seed in New York is Andrew Claudio, at Andrew J. Claudio on Twitter. Underscore at the end of that, my apologies. And he is a part of the Knicks Film School. Andrew, good morning to you. Can you just like, I think I've seen online this is the most expensive Knicks ticket of all time. What are we talking in terms of the anticipation and excitement for this game tomorrow?
Well, first of all, good morning and thank you for having me. And as far as the anticipation is concerned, look, the Knicks have played some playoff games recently in the past 5 years, this Tom Thibodeau, Leon Rose era that we didn't think we'd be playing. That season coming out of the pandemic against the Hawks, that game one had anticipation. The series against the Cavs, of course, last year against the Sixers and the Pacers. Even game seven last year, of course, there was anticipation. But the Knicks had the higher seed in all of those situations. To find yourself not just up in this series, but with a chance and a path to the conference finals now in front of you, it's got to be their most anticipated home game since they last made the conference finals in the year 2000. I'd even say to go back to the year 99. And I think just to speak to how little a lot of people in New York and a lot of people in the NBA world thought the Knicks would be here has created that anticipation. So it should be a wild scene at the Garden on Saturday.
Remarkable two games to come back from 20-point deficits. A lot was made of this series, Andrew, going in of like, yo, Celtics, bad matchup. This is what they did to them in the regular season. Not a series. And then the Knicks leave Boston with two-game lead. I'm curious, though, from your vantage point, what surprised you about both games that Boston was or was not doing?
Well, this is going to sound reductive, but in a lot of our preview for this series and how the Knicks could potentially win it, and some of that was tongue-in-cheek, a lot of the conversation was, well, hope they miss. And I hate to just simplify it down to that, and the Knicks have done a lot of good things to, you know, help the Celtics rely solely on their three-point shooting and hoping for some variance. But this isn't just bad shooting from the Boston Celtics. It's historically bad shooting. And a lot of whenever they try to do something different, they're not shooting well from three. That's the poster child right now, right? They're also not shooting well in the mid-range. They're also not shooting well outside of the restricted area. You know, they're everywhere else that the Knicks are forcing them to take shots from, they're not hitting. So they're leaning on what's been their calling card the last 2 years. And look, last year they were the first team in NBA history to win the title taking more threes than two-pointers. This year they leaned even heavier into that formula, and here in the first two games of the series, it's backfired on them. Now, I don't know what the adjustment is from a Boston standpoint to go away from a thing that's working and hope it's not historically bad, but they've also, from a Celtics standpoint, benefited from the Knicks haven't played all that well either, and they're up 2-0. I mean, the Knicks have been down 20 in both of these games. Right. What happens if they're up? Like, they should potentially try playing with the lead. It might suit them, and you might see a Celtic team not be able to handle adversity that way either.
That's a great point. Andrew Claudio is our guest. Andrew J. Claudio _ on Twitter, Knicks Film School podcast, talking a little Knicks and Celtics. Pivotal game 3 tomorrow at Madison Square Garden. Where's the fear about this team running out of gas? I know that's been kind of the thing from the outside looking in on Tibbs, where it's just not a very deep rotation, not a lot of bodies are playing, just the fear of like, man, are we going to run these guys into the ground? Where is that on Knicks fans' minds?
So I got to be totally honest with you. I think it's completely opposite. Look across the aisle at the Boston Celtics injury report. Jason Tatum dealing with a wrist injury. Jaylen Brown dealing with a knee injury. The Porzingis and this illness that's been bugging him for a month and a half. Sam Hauser's already missed a game in this series. The Celtics are down to 5-6 bodies. Like, Al Horford, I have great respect for him, but he's up there in age and has looked it, having to guard Jalen Brunson in the open court at times. The Knicks don't have a single person on the injury report. They've gotten healthier as the season has gone along. And if you ask anybody in the organization, this was part of the plan. Yes, you'll tax some of your wings a little bit more on the minutes throughout the season. Mikal Bridges is made of rubber, hasn't missed a game since 10th grade, so you're not worried about him. Josh Hart is the human embodiment, the basketball embodiment of the Energizer Bunny. The one player I had worry about going into this season and into this Thibodeau style of play was OG Anunoby, and he just played the most games in a season that he's played in years. So I got to be honest, that the Knicks have spoken, like a lot of their players have said, hey, we're used to playing these heavy playoff minute loads. We were doing this in December against the Wizards. We were doing this throughout many parts of the season that a lot of people were calling it crazy. Now they're a bit battle tested. Now, I don't know if you can hear, I'm knocking on all the wood I can find to make sure that nothing happens the rest of the series. But as far as them running into the ground, they're the healthy team in these playoffs at the moment.
Knicks fans are absolute psychotics. The videos of them just saying all kinds of outlandish things after going up 2-0 is all over the internet. I also am familiar a little bit with the East Coast sports fan, and I'm just curious how terrified and how much anxiety is running through their veins. Because if they get blown out in a game 3 on Saturday in prime time, I think the rest of the country is going to go, oh, that was a fun story. Celtics got it figured out. You sound very happy, and I'm saying this as a compliment to you. Usually our New York guests sound a little more reserved, a little more angry. Where are you at? Where are the nerves of Knicks fans at right now? Because this game 3 is going to be for Boston's life, and I just wonder, are the Knicks going to be able to match whatever that energy and effort is that Boston will clearly bring on Saturday?
So there's two sides of this. First of all, I obviously don't speak for all New Yorkers, but I do speak for a specific sect of New York sports fans. And look, I understand there are two New York basketball teams. God bless the Brooklyn Nets. It's like 95-5 when it comes to New York and the percentage of this city that is Knicks fans compared to Nets fans. But I also, I'm a Jets fan. I'm a Mets fan. I come from a perspective that's just happy to be there when success happens. I understand what the Mets have become now, but this is a team that hasn't won a lot throughout my time watching them, and I don't have to say much more about the Jets. So there is a humility and an appreciation for being up 2-0, knowing that the other shoe could drop if, to your point, the Celtics decide to start hitting all their threes like they did during the regular season. There is another side of a Knicks fan, the other half of the fan base that is also a Yankee fan, also a Giant fan, expects excellence, expects success. Great things happen to us because we chose to root for a team that won all these championships during the 40s or whatever. And like all of that speaks to or creates this melting pot of a fan base that gives you all the emotions, and all of it comes out in both the funniest and reckless ways at times. Look, I picked the Celtics in five going into this series. They now can do exactly what I said they do before the series and win four of the next five games, and it wouldn't fully surprise me. I do not put it past this Knicks team, though, to match the energy. That's not something I'm afraid of. Talent might win out. Math might win out. Energy, the Knicks will come correct, and that's something I absolutely know they'll be able to match for at least the next four games, however long this series goes.
Yeah, but you didn't need to pretend that there's really Nets fans. We know there's not.
They don't exist. These are imaginary people.
Jersey moving into Brooklyn.
One. I will say that. I haven't met one yet.
Neither have we. Last one for you. We're into gambling on this show. How do we feel about the 5.5-point line tomorrow?
Oh, good. Who's the favorite?
Boston's favorite in MSG tomorrow.
That's just it. Boston's the favorite. Yes. I mean, speaking of being into gambling, I took the Knicks 9.5 plus 9.5 game one plus 10.5 game two.
Yeah.
The Knicks play these close games, and look, they've played a bunch of one score games. I believe seven consecutive one score games. Going back to the Detroit series, six consecutive one score games because from game three on. And I don't see how you can go against that trend of the Knicks playing another one-score game. So take the points at least. I'm wondering if, as much as their exploits on the road have been talked about a lot, the Knicks have won five straight road games here in these playoffs. They've also lost their last two home games. So I'm not saying that Madison Square Garden isn't going to be an advantage on Saturday, but I don't have the chutzpah to take money line just yet, but give me the Knicks and the points. That's for sure.
My only criticism of Andrew, I needed a little more New York. Like, we're going to win this game. There's no doubt in my mind.
You know what, Brag? Don't even bother with the points.
Yes.
Okay? Give me the money line. In fact, go to an adjusted line and give me Knicks minus 10.
Ooh.
Get Boston out of here. They're a city that doesn't matter. Tom Brady is long gone.
Yes.
The ghost of Larry Bird. We got this.
That's
great. I mean, that was perfect. That was literally perfect. Andrew Claudio, give him a follow on Twitter at Andrew J. Claudio _. He's the host of the Knicks Film School podcast. Man, we're jealous of what you guys get to experience tomorrow. Playoff basketball seems like a bygone era here in Portland, and so we're probably a few more years away from it. Enjoy the atmosphere, the scene, everything that's going down. Thanks as always, man. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, fellas. Go Knicks.
There you go, Andrew Claudio. Tom Brady's out of here.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird's a bomb.
That was good stuff.
I mean, they're going to lose tomorrow, right? They're going to lose tomorrow, aren't they? Are they going to win tomorrow?
Give me your best guess on this, because remember the odds of the two series in the East going into the series before we knew the results, okay? Mm-hmm. If I would have went to a book and said, can I bet Pacers, Knicks,
2-0 series
both
leads
up 2-0
against the Cavs and Celtics, who were on a collision course for the conference
finals. I was thinking about this exercising yesterday. Would I have, like, plus 7,000 odds?
Might be longer than that, to be honest with you. Because, one, there's no guarantee that either of them get out of the first round. Knicks and Pistons was a knockout series. So you had to go through that. You had to win the first round series. And then you didn't know Dame was, you know, is he going to come back? Is he going to play? Is he going to get hurt again? You weren't quite sure. I think most people assumed Indiana would win the first round series.
Oh, I mean, even after the first round.
Even after the first round?
Because Boston was a minus 800 favorite in this series.
Yeah, I mean, they're still a favorite in the series. And they're down 2-0. And they lost both games at home. And they got to win four of the next five. They're still a minus, I believe, 120 favorite I saw yesterday on DraftKings. So
I'm nervous for my Knicks friends.
They're going to lose tomorrow. We know they're going to lose tomorrow.
It's
the Celtics.
You always said
win.
This about game two, though.
I know we did. I'm doubling down. Double dip in the chip.
I mean, that's a triple down for me if I go that direction because I thought they'd lose the first two games.
The Daily Ticker presented by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. With the return of warmer weather, Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It is refreshment that you can see. Let's talk a little bit more about this game and the weekend ahead. Where do these series go? The latest injury updates. We got a lot to get to coming up later on in the final hour, but back after this, more NBA talk next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. Got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. I have a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach for the Knicks tomorrow, and I don't know why, because to your point in the last segment, it is a tripling down and a doubling down. I thought it was going to happen in game two, and it certainly did not happen in game two. The Celtics led throughout. They collapsed in the fourth quarter. The Knicks came back and won in shocking fashion, and that's why they got a 2-0 series lead. The level of shock seeing Boston fall down in the second round 3-0, it's not the shock that maybe New York can win the series. The fact that there's the potential that this could be a 3-0 series lead for the New York Knicks would have my jaw on the floor.
Well, they're the defending champions, so it's like you kind of, I think we're all in the same place here of like...
How is this happening?
They're going to go down and get punked 3-0?
Three times in a row? They're going to shoot 10 of 45 from 3, 10 of 50 from 3 in game 3. Like, I agree. Like, Colin, I thought, had a decent rant open his show yesterday about analytics. And I think he said the Knicks were playing with manalytics, which, you know, hey, there you go.
Well,
but there's a little bit of that of like, you know, you're leaning a lot into the math and the science and the 3-pointer, the 2-point. You know, I get it. They're going to have a good shooting night one of these games. They have to.
I said this yesterday about that league. There are way too many people that tout analytics that nobody cares about.
Yes.
Like, I don't need analytics to tell me who's playing well and who's not playing well.
I have eyeballs.
Right.
My eyeballs tell me. Jason Tatum has not played well.
Zach Lowe had this rant on his podcast yesterday where he was like, because they have this, like, expected, where your shots, your distance between you and the defender and the looks, and then they run those analytical numbers, and the analytics will say, whoop, you did everything better than the other team. But what those analytics don't do is put a win on the scorecard.
No.
Now, it might Saturday when they get those same looks, because I don't think they're going to stop getting looks. Knicks have struggled a little bit on rotations around the perimeter. The Celtics have just been all-time historically terrible. But I am kind of in this, not pushback against analytics. It's important information, and internally teams use all kinds of numbers. But, like, we got to just stop with this, like, you know, the expected percentage of shots with the win total percentage. It's just like, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
They're down 2-0. All that just tells me nothing. They're down 2-0. I just have a hard time believing the defending champion is going to go down 3-0.
I just can't.
But, to Claudio's point, Brown's dealing with a knee injury. He only could give you one good half. Porzingis is dealing with some sort of ailment, some illness.
Mm-hmm.
Tatum, I love that suddenly Tatum's wrist hurts. I watched that dude with 12 seconds throw down a monstrous dunk, but when he misses a jump shot, the wrist hurts.
Yeah, my wrist is in pain.
Holiday's not really much of an offensive contributor. He's more of a defensive guy, and at best, like, he has moments, but he's getting older. Al Horford did some stupid stuff in game two, and Derek White, he has moments, and then he can also kind of go away. I'm more curious about one. We know the Knicks' toughness, right?
Like, we do.
Yes.
We chastised Tibbs for playing five dudes largely. He played six. It worked. They're up 2-0.
The question is it how long can they continue to do that?
See, I think the question's the other. It needs to be on the other side. What have they shown that makes you worry?
Exactly.
They are staying healthy. They are physically capable of playing these minutes. I wonder the other side. Is this Wonder Boy coach that we tout that watches, what's the movie he watched? Like
The Town? The Accountant.
You going to make an adjustment at all? Or are you just...
That's a big question.
I don't think they're going to.
Game two,
I'm
curious to do the same thing.
We won 61 games in the regular season. We're going to trust the process.
Okay.
If Jaylen Brown's not, you know, at full capacity, if Porzingis doesn't have anything in the tank, I just wonder what Emmett, when they find out, when they see on the floor, oh, Tatum's going to have to do it all by himself, what does the MSG crowd have for him?
Well, you know what's interesting about him, and I have to put my hand up here a little bit, I do give some crap towards him, a lot of people do. He has had some moments, not quite Brunson-esque moments. But, like, I'll give you one. I bet you we all forgot about it because I went back and I looked and I went, oh, yeah, I should have remembered that. How about 51 in a game seven against Philly?
Yeah.
Like, and so I'm not saying you're trying to be a Tatum defender.
He's not a choke artist to the level of some other guys that we've
seen.
He's
not James Harden.
He's not James Harden.
No.
He's had big games and big moments. It doesn't happen all the time, and he was not good in his first finals appearance, but he's had big moments and big games.
Did we get Clark Kent or we get Superman on Saturday?
I just, all of this to be said, I do want to spread the line on today because it's fun. I enjoy it. There's a lot going on to gamble on this weekend. It just juices the interest in the playoffs for this weekend. I am hammering the Celtics tomorrow. So save this for Monday. I'm hammering the Celtics. I don't want to do it. I want Boston to lose. I want them to be down 3-0. They're going to win the game, and they're going to win the game going away.
Perfect for Monday's open.
Thank you.
-5.5 right now.
That's great value. Give it to me all day. That's been a double-digit spread the first two games.
They hit the threes that they're getting. They're going to win
a game.
I
don't know if they're going to come back all the way and win the series. They fell down 3-0 a couple years ago to Miami, and they forced a game seven. So they found their way back into series. I'm not saying they're going to win the series. I refuse to believe. This is kind of the way I felt yesterday about Golden State, Minnesota. Like, there's no Steph Curry. So I get it. Playoff Jimmy, that's great. Minnesota's down 0-1. They're fighting for... They're not going to lose the first two games of the series on their home floor without Steph Curry playing. It's just not going to happen. I refuse to believe that's going to take place. I refuse to believe that the Boston Celtics will fall down 3-0 in this series. Refuse to believe it.
Yeah, but even if they did, I might sprinkle a little something on a 3-0 comeback because that value would have to be
You're
going to
keep doing it. I just bet I parlayed them and the Cavs yesterday to win their series to each of them, and we'll see how that we can get to that one tonight because they play a pivotal game three in Indiana tonight.
Both deserve respect in this way. Boston deserves the respect of a champion. New York deserves the respect of absolute grit toughness.
Yes.
And so all I want really as a fan – I'd just prefer a close, great atmosphere, electric, buzz-worthy. Like, I have a basketball tournament Saturday. They're both early games. I should be getting home right around the time this game tips off.
12:30 tomorrow
on
ABC.
I want to see Tracy Morgan. I want to see Ben Stiller. I want to see John McEnroe. I just want to see the scene, and I want to feel the buzz. And, hear the organ play, and... Watch a great basketball game. Both deserve all of whatever you want to say about what Game 3 should be.
Fascinating storylines around. The defending champs on the ropes. The Knicks, two wins away from their first conference finals in 25 years. The Garden's going to be going crazy. It's going to be a fun scene tomorrow, and I will be hammering the Celtics. This is one of those bets, too, the silver lining of it. If I lose, I'm okay with that because it means the Celtics are probably done. And seeing Boston lose in the second round will definitely bring a smile to my face. Mm. But I will be gambling on them tomorrow. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We're going to let's get to in the final hour of the show. I'm going to get to a couple of the other NBA series. What the hell's going to go down in Indiana tonight? Cleveland is facing potential elimination as well, down 2-0. A lot of their guys are still out. We'll dive a little bit into that series. Does anybody have a clue on what's going to happen in Game 3 in Denver tonight between the Thunder and the Nuggets? That's a wild one, so we'll dive into that. We will spring the line, so get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. Do a little gambling heading into the weekend. I want to start, though, with a tone-deaf owner and a tip of the cap to the creativity. We'll start the final hour there next on 1080 The Fam.